Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Good morning, football. Great night of football last night to kick off week two. Our show brought to you and presented by our friends at Old Trapper Beef Jerky. We're live in the greatest city in the world, New York City, on this Friday. My name's Kay. Peter Schrager is back. Kyle Brandt is here. And Chris Carter has another 3 hours on GMFB. Hey, Chris.
Good morning.
Got your football at the top of the show today.
Ben, people love the football.
Peter, Chris likes to work with a football.
I don't touch a football. I didn't play football. Yeah. I don't touch football. We do all these promotional photos. I say, get that out of my face.
Me too. Shrek and I are like,
earn
nope.
The right to hold that football. Mm-hmm.
Well, you just live it.
I live it and breathe it, but I do not hold the football.
You're part of the show. At GMFB with your tweets. You got highlights from last night. Right now, let's go to FedEx Field.
Let's do it. Daniel Jones has never lost to Washington, but he's never won in prime time.
Okay.
Something's got to give. Here we go. Washington 30, Giants 29. They blew it in five different ways. That penalty was only one of them. Washington gets to 1-1. Heinicke, Jones, McLaurin with 11 catches. And Graham Gano has made 50 straight field goals in a lot. Have you seen this guy? Meanwhile, Taylor Heinicke.
Straight.
He talked with the Thursday Night Football crew, and we're like, Taylor, this team's pretty good. And he says, hey, we got dudes at every position.
Do you believe with the job that you've done here
tonight,
that
great
you
question.
Have earned the right to start at quarterback for the Washington football team the rest of the year?
I do, and I have confidence that I can do it. So if those guys in the locker room and the facility believe in me, that's all that matters. And I think they do. So let's try to keep this ball rolling.
How far can this team go, Taylor?
Shoot, if you look at every position, we got dudes at every single position. And, I think the only thing that can beat us is ourselves. So I think we can go as far as we want to go.
It was such a fun game, and it was an NFC East battle, of course. That'll be going down to the wire up until the playoffs begin and even further into 2021. I'm so excited about this and this game and how it all went down. And for Heinicke, what a story for him. Chris, what was your big takeaway from the last-second win over the Giants?
Under the toughest conditions, that's where you really should judge players. And beginning the game, got off to a rough start, had pressure, got sacked. Only sack, I think, that they had of the night. At the end of the game, a lot like Baker Mayfield, played a really good football game, but made one mistake. Now, it wasn't only his fault. I mean, they had a great play call where him and Terry McLaurin, they were going to run a pick route, but he decides to stay on Scary Terry compared to going to the back, so he throws the interception. But for me, the moment of truth was, what is the offensive staff? Because I hear what they say in the press conferences. I know what they tell people. But it's all the truth when they call the plays. When they pull out that call sheet, you know if the throws are risky and if they trust the guy, and you could see immediately they went in attack mode after the interception. And that, to me, you got to give Scott Turner and the staff there at Washington a lot of credit, because he showed, okay, I still got confidence in you. You made one mistake, and you could see that in the play calling throughout the game, which led to the field goal.
I agree. I think Washington has some really good players. I don't know if they're a really good team yet, but who cares? I don't care if anybody loses week one. We talk about it all the time. Bucks lost week one last year. The Browns lost. You can't go 0-2. You can't do it. The numbers just bear it out, and they didn't. And this is why we talked about yesterday, like, what's this going to be like without Fitzpatrick? It's almost like they still had him. Heinicke reminds me a lot of him. He's a chucker. He'll make a big mistake, but he has that contagious energy around you that gets everybody fired up. And listen, Heinicke and McLaurin was a real thing against real DBs, real corners. Like, that looked like a great combination. I watched this, and I'm thinking, how are the Cowboys and Eagles stopping this? Because they're really good, really confident. And I know it got really weird at the end of the game, but Washington won. And now they go on, and they're 1-1, and we can talk about them as winning this division playoffs. Who knows? Giants, Peter? I don't know.
No. And let's go to the Giants.
You want to?
Because I think Giants fans still might have the NFL Network on from last night,
oh,
and
no.
If they haven't broken their TV by throwing the remote at the screen. Joe Judge preaches discipline and accountability. And I'll give you a pass for the lapse over the summer if in the regular season your teams are accountable and they preach discipline. This one was tough for Giants fans to swallow because Daniel Jones played awesome last night.
It was awesome.
And you finally got the performance you wanted from Daniel Jones. And Jason Garrett's game plan, which is easily picked apart, and he's a pinata on a lot of local shows here in New York, was really good. Mm-hmm. And yet it was the special teams, Joe Judge was the special teams coach, and it was the discipline and accountability that leaves you head scratching. Giants fans, the Giants lost this game probably 7 times last night. And then they had a chance at the end, and they weren't aggressive enough to win it. I think if you're waking up as a Washington fan, great. Mm-hmm. If you're a Giants fan, it's a tough one to stomach.
I was really disappointed in the Giants coaching staff because I don't know who they thought they had on. Maybe they thought they had LT, Carl Banks, Jim Burt, and those guys on defense. So they were going to settle for the field goal. Yeah, I brought his name up.
Great one, Chris.
Yesterday.
Look at you.
You need to go for the touchdown there. After that interception, they lost all their sense of aggression. Like, let's finish this off. Let's take it down. We got confidence in the quarterback compared to the other side where Heinicke throws an interception and they get aggressive.
Yeah.
So that right there was puzzling to me.
Don't you think Heinicke deserves some credit? You're giving the coaching staff, you know, they had faith in him after the interception. I feel like we're just going on a couple first dates with Taylor Heinicke. We're just getting to know him. Mm-hmm. We don't know much about him. And so every time we hang out with him, we learn something. I learned yesterday he's got no panic. No panic button. Kim Jones joined us and said he's ready for the big stage. And I was like, all right, well, that's going to be on the back pages that if he's not able to perform under the bright lights. What did he do? He throws that interception. He looked calm as can be on that final drive. I think he deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, I think you make a great point there, but this is the problem. It's the player's job to create confidence in the coach in practice. You can't wait to get in the game and create that. If he hadn't done that in practice, you're right. You could see. So he is responsible for the success and the confidence that the staff
have. I don't know if he can keep it going, but it was fascinating to watch. And congratulations to Washington. It was a great day.
Yeah, I love it.
Great day.
Didn't even mention the ex-girlfriend Cam Newton once the entire night.
No. Right. And we shouldn't.
She didn't even come up.
She's history. Hard not to be excited about that date if you're a Washington fan. Let's bring in Ian Rappaport. This morning we saw an impressive performance from Taylor Heinicke. I was all about it. He got the gall. He completely lost the interception from his mind and got the win for his team. What is the timetable for Ryan Fitzpatrick, the other sort of ex-girlfriend in the mix here?
Well, let's start with Fitz's timetable. From what I understand, he really spent the last 3 or 4 days trying to figure this out, seeing experts, seeing doctors, getting a bunch of different medical opinions to figure out what was the next course of action. He is going to go at his hip issue, which, of course, remember, his hip sublux, which went in and out of the socket. He is going to go at it non-surgically, so he is going to go with the rehab option. From what I understand, he is out about 8 weeks, maybe come back a week sooner, maybe be ready a week sooner, but probably about 8 weeks, which means he is likely out until mid-November, which is fine. Fitz obviously was the starter week 1, going to come back mid-November. But then you see Taylor Heinicke come out last night and play the way he did. It does add a different variable to the mix. Does he come in and keep the starting job? If you're Fitz, obviously Washington does want him back. Absolutely no doubt about it. They want him back. Believe he'll be back this season. But the way Heinicke played, the belief this team has in him, he's younger, he's cheaper, perhaps representing a bigger future. If they're winning games like they did last night and Heinicke plays as well as he did, does he keep the job? This is obviously a big question going forward for Washington.
Here's the deal. We're going to play Mad Minute. The three of you will share 60 seconds, just a minute, to break down the slate of matchups for week 2. And I want to start with the Panthers. They host the Saints. What has you most excited? And we'll start with Kyle on this one.
Jameis. Most exciting player in football right now. Every piece of evidence we have from over years and years says when he goes up, he will go down. Does he just stay up? Is he actually on the roller coaster I've been putting him on? Or is he on that Six Flags ride where you just go up and spin around and look at the whole park for a few hours? Jameis, have another day. You should be the story of this year. Peter, what do you think?
How about Matt Rhule, the coach of the Panthers? He can walk out of this game being 2-0 and atop the division and saying, hey, guys, we got through it. 2-0, we beat the Saints. They've lost 8 of the last 9 games to the Saints. He's obviously never beaten the Saints. This is, to me, a game where Rhule looks at his players and says, we're not going to be this team's doormat forever. Let's go back and get this thing. They're in our building. I think the Panthers might pull an upset here, too.
You got to talk about Sean Payton.
Okay.
If Jameis is the conversation, yes. The reason
Let's
is because
it.
Of Sean Payton. And just not only because he is a quarterback whisperer. We say that about a lot of people, but he's really one. But what about the adversity this team has faced through the years? Every time Sean Payton has stepped up.
And I think Sean Payton likes it that way. The Saints have won 8 of their last 9 against the Panthers. The one loss was week 17, guys, 2018, when the Saints rested all their starters to get set for the playoffs. Okay, the Niners are heading out east to take on the Eagles in Philadelphia. What are we watching for? Here, Shrix.
Chris, you played for the Eagles. You know when things are tough with the Eagles, the fans let you know about it. But when things are good, there may be no more loving and emotional fan base that there is. And Nick Sirianni right now is walking on cloud nine. He went from being the joke of the fan base on morning radio to now being the savior of the fan base. I heard he drew tears in the pregame last week against Atlanta for week one.
Wow.
What does he have in store? They're home underdogs, but Philly is in a fervor. I know a few producers on our show, Mark Grillo is his name, is about to do a statue of Nick Sirianni.
The Sirianni statue at
that's
the,
exactly
at the steps?
Right.
Wow. Watch Sirianni bring out the triple option. This is what they're going to do. Huh. Read option with Jalen, all right? If he the running back's going to take it, or he can pull it back and run it, or watch him throw in the bubble screen. He's going to use some of Kyle Shanahan's stuff against him. Watch how many times they utilize that against that attack 49ers defense.
I love Jalen Hurts and Sirianni, too. They may run into a brick wall this weekend. I don't know. You hyped yesterday the Nick Bosa experience. There's a lot of good players on the Niners. One of these teams is going to be a very shiny 2-0. I think it's going to be Philly.
Upset pick. I like
Whoa.
And we'll see what Jalen Hurts can do. He is the first player in NFL history to rack up over 1,000 yards through the air and 300 rushing yards through his first five career NFL starts. We'll see if he can follow that string up and keep it going after what he did against Atlanta. Okay, it is the Rams taking on the Colts. This one's in Indy. What is intriguing you about this one? You and your girlfriend over there, the football.
When I look at a team like Detroit, they're not in this game. But over the last 30 years, three best players. Barry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Megatron,
mm-hmm.
and Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford got out.
Yeah.
And I always love to see him. He's got in L.A., with that offense, married to that coach. You're talking about a perfect marriage. I'm so happy for him because he's really one of the great guys we have playing the game.
He is a great guy, and so is Quentin Nelson, and so is Aaron Donald. I'm doubling down
fat
on
guy,
this.
Fat
it's
guy
the most
alert.
Anticipated guard-tackle matchup I can remember in my lifetime. First play, running play. We're going to run it right off the bat. I don't know who wins this thing, but I almost feel like they should come out in those giant diapers and their hair pulled back. Like it's a full sumo match, and they're going to stomp. I'm here for it, Peter.
I love it. Amazing games on ESPN 7.
By the way, it's going to be on Hard Knocks, as it turns out, right?
Apparently,
it is. What the hell?
I found that out last night. Real quick, McVay didn't even go deep into the playbook last week. It was like they had this big lead on the Bears. They kept it very vanilla. I think there's a lot more in that playbook. Expect Deshaun Jackson to play a role in this one.
Oh, me and Kyle always forget about Deshaun Jackson.
I'm always like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he was out there a lot last week.
The last time the Colts beat the Rams, guys, was 2009. It was in the Edward Jones Dome. Peyton Manning, obviously the quarterback for the Colts. Who was the Rams quarterback? Ooh. Anyone?
Garcia?
No, the guy, Sam Bradford.
Mark Bulger.
That's the one I was looking for, West Virginia.
The divisional battles continue. The Bills heading down south to face the Dolphins. What are we looking for, Kyle?
Josh Allen's never lost to the Dolphins. It's never happened. He's 5-0. He's dominated them. It's like incredible statistics. He rolls it up on him. But this is a pressure-packed game. Mm-hmm. Not for the Dolphins, whatever. They won the Bills can't go 0-2. They cannot. Not with this climate, not with that city, not with that state, not with that buildup. Josh Allen needs to have a game. It's fine if you lost week one. It's okay. You've never lost to the Dolphins. If he does this weekend, oh my gosh. What are we doing?
I take it from the flip side. I take it to Flores. Like, he's 0-4 against Josh Allen. This guy completely owns him, and Flores is a defensive mastermind. It's like, what are we going to do it. If not now, when? It's going to be hot as all get out down there in South Florida.
Stop filling my nose.
I think it's going to be a tough one.
That happens.
I honestly feel yesterday. Like September, early in the season, the Bills could be 0-2 after this thing, and the Dolphins would have a three-game cushion
because
they'd have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Anytime you look at the Dolphins and they are successful, look at their early season and their 1 o'clock games playing at home. It's a real thing. It's going to be 88. I showed them the weather report yesterday. It's going to be 88. It's going to be humid.
You said it.
I make my home very, very close to there, and the teams from the north have a hard time, especially early in the month. So if the Dolphins are for real,
okay,
you got to be a dominant team September and October, hurricane season, mm-hmm. when the humidity is way up. And people come down there to melt.
And speaking of dominance, we have to point out that Sean McDermott, in his 4 years as head coach of the Buffalo Bills, is 7-1 against the
Robust.
Miami Dolphins. Not just Josh Allen.
I was supposed to be sitting in the sideline box with my boy Haffy, but I'm here with you guys.
There we go.
Shout out to Haffy.
Maybe you could fly your jet down there later. The other two AFC
Let's do that.
Facing off with the Patriots and the Jets. First rookie showdown of the year. What are we looking forward to in this matchup? I'm excited about this one, Triggs.
Yeah, Chris has a friend named Haffy with a private jet. I've got a couple Uber X drivers I use to get to these games.
Those are your friends, too.
Yeah, Jets gave up.
I thought we were going to city bike. No?
Yeah, city bike. Jets gave up 6 sacks to the Panthers defense, and nothing against Phil Snow's unit. The Patriots are a whole different beast. I think without Becton, it's going to be a rude awakening. He's 20-6, Belichick, against rookie quarterbacks. I got to think that the Patriots take care of business against the Jets here.
I like the Patriots quarterback. And I went back and watched every throw, not only in the first game, but in the preseason. Reminds me a lot of Matt Ryan. All right. Now, people love Matt Ryan, but there's some other people think, wow, Matt Ryan, he could be a little bit better. I think the Patriots, over the next 10 years, with that selection, they're going to get exactly what they want. That he is the Patriot way.
No kidding.
Yes.
All right, well, here's the Patriot way. Belichick has played a rookie head coach quarterback combo, like Sal and Wilson, eight times in his career. He is 7-1. The only loss, Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez of the New York Jets. They would have to repeat that. Jets, let's go. Shock the world. Take this guy out.
Belichick's won 10 straight over the Jets. This will be the first time in the history of the rivalry both teams are rolling out those rookie quarterbacks. All right, next guest is a super friend of the show. What does he do, the noodling? What is it with the catfish, remember?
No.
Yes.
Any noodles?
Yes, we talked about it on the show. Super Bowl champion Eagles offensive tackle Lane Johnson joining the breakfast table after the break, but he wouldn't put his hand in. He put something like...
Oh, with the actual real catfish. Yes. I thought you were talking about the ones on the internet.
No. We'll be back.
I forgot about that.
We love when this next guest comes to visit us. He's a friend of the show. He's also a dominant offensive lineman on what looked like the best offensive line in football last week. We call him Stonewall Johnson. He was the fourth overall pick in 2013 out of Oklahoma, and now he's a Super Bowl 52 champion doing a whole lot more. Just celebrated his 100th career start. Oh. Let's welcome in. Back to the table, Eagles tackle, Lane Johnson.
What up, Lane? What's going on?
What's going on? We know head coach Nick Sirianni likes to get you guys motivated, playing video clips to his team, teaching you lessons on how to pump you guys up. What was done before week one against the Falcons to have you guys come out there like a house on fire?
You know, he just has a different approach, I guess, to the way he coaches. I remember, you know, the night before the game, usually you're going over clips, in which we did. But, you know, before we broke out, he said everybody get up and start shaking their teammates' hands and giving them hugs. So something I've never done. And we went around the room, and whenever we got done, man, he said, hey, that's the team. And I think that really struck home with a lot of guys, and it was pretty cool. And, you know, my ninth year, I haven't been a part of anything like that. So felt really good.
Lane, we love that story. We love learning little things about your coach, your team, and it's clearly working. You guys got the win. And I love particularly seeing a video of rookie wide receiver Devontae Smith. He was dancing in the locker room, having the time of his life after the win. I don't know if it's probably after Sirianni's words there. What do you make of Devontae Smith and what you think he can accomplish this season? Because I know a lot of Philly fans are always wondering about the wide receivers there.
I mean, when I look at him, I'm thinking Marvin Harrison. I don't want to put any huge comparisons on him, so I see that's unfair, but he's unbelievable. The separation he gets, the quickness he has out of his breaks, the sure hands, and how serious he takes every week, and just how he's been since he's been here in Philly. I think he's a phenomenal talent, and I think he's only going to ascend into what he's meant to be.
That's awesome, and I know you are being cautious and respectful of your teammate. Our teammate here, Chris Carter, is nodding his head off his shoulders the second you said Marvin Harrison, man. So I think you are all over it. He does look great. A lot of work to be done, but it's exciting. Let's go from Marvin Harrison to Guy Fieri. Can we talk about Kelsey's hair? What is going on with your fellow lineman, Jason Kelce? His hair, I heard there was a gentleman's agreement or something.
Yeah, I think he's going to do a little bit of cooking and when he gets done with practice, maybe make some wings and get everybody headed to Flavortown. But basically what happened, he made a deal with Ertz that if he wasn't traded by the end of training camp, then he would dye his hair. And so I guess he was expecting, everybody else was expecting him to be traded, and he's still here. And next thing you know, he has a blonde top, which I think looks pretty good. I think it looks better than what he had. So kudos to his barber.
Lane, we know in the stands in Philadelphia, I played 3 years there, and there's always some fighting going on there. But Sunday in Philadelphia, the best fight's going to be between the big guys. It's going to be a fat man fight. Can you break it down for me and let me know how your Eagles and that offensive line, how they stack up against probably the best defensive line in the NFL in the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge test for us. They have Eric Armstead, D. Ford, Joey Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, and those guys. So they do a good job up front. Relentless motor. So we know what we're up against, the players that we're up against, and really, when you play guys like that, hopefully you can elevate yourself to match it. So, yeah, it'll be a tremendous test for us. But I'm confident with the guys that we have up front, and really it'll be our, first big test of the year.
Lane, I got to ask about the left tackle, Maialata.
Oh, yes.
Got the big extension. We love him on the show. Your reaction to the way he performed in week one?
I thought he played tremendous. I think now he can maybe buy the rest of the Outback out there in Australia. So when I go and visit him, I have a lot of land to go run around on. But, man, I'm happy for him. It's tremendous how much he's progressed in the past 3 or 4 years, from not playing any football or knowing anything about it to where he is. And then, a guy his size, 6'8", 370, whatever, plus. It's unbelievable, and I think the sky's going to be the limit for this man, as he continues his journey through football. So I'm just glad to be around it.
Yeah, look, Lane, I think everyone in Philadelphia feels like this team embodies the city right now. Mm-hmm. Tough in the trenches.
And the coach.
And the coach is just living and breathing with the Eagles. It is a fun time to be an Eagles fan. Good luck this weekend when you guys go up against a very formidable 49ers opponent, the home opener.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy it, Lane.
Yep, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Week 2 is officially kicked off. There's a great slate of games coming to us on Sunday, so let's break down some of those best matchups with something we call Mad Minute. 60 seconds on the clock. The three of you share that 60, and we get through all of the matchups that are highly anticipated for the weekend. How about Raiders going to Pittsburgh to face off against the Steelers? What has us going about this one?
This is one of the great matchups all time.
Yeah.
John Gruden going against Tomlin, one of the best press conferences, Gruden and Tomlin. But I'm watching T.J. Watt here.
Okay.
I mean, the dude, I like the boss move he had in training camp. Hey, man, y'all go ahead and practice. I'm going to be over here stretching a little bit. I'm going to have a little in-camp holdout. When y'all get my money right, when y'all bring the bag, then I'll bring the goods. So I'm watching T.J. Watt because he got a bag full of money, and he looked like he was worth it last week.
Just 30 seconds for YouTube.
There was a rookie left tackle for the Steelers who held his own last week in Moore at a Texas A&M. Max Crosby and Anik Ngakoue are coming. Let's see if all those rookies, they started 6 rookies last week, Pittsburgh. Let's see if those rookies are up for it. It is tough, though, for the Raiders. Late night on Monday, traveling across country, short week.
Derek Carr, let us love you. Let us celebrate you. He says after the game, my career is kind of roller coaster. It's like up and then crap. It's up right now. Keep it up. If you beat the Steelers and you go 2-0, like, you're going to be one of the biggest stories of the week. Go get it, Derek Carr.
Guess who's won 3 of the last 4 matchups in this?
Is it the Raiders?
The Raiders have won 3 of the last 4.
That's another
surprising stat. The Vikings head to the desert to take on the Cardinals. What are we watching for here? Eeny, meeny, miny, Kyle.
I'm looking at the Cardinals. I'm looking at the Arizona Cardinals, and I didn't think I was going to be. Not a lot of love in the preseason. Not a lot of for J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt looked incredible in week 1. Chris Carter was going on about his workout regimen, and he's changed and added weight. So listen, Vikings, one of the more unimpressive teams week 1 and in the preseason. I think Arizona's going to win this game. I think they win it pretty comfortably.
Vikings were giving up, I believe, the worst stats of all time under Mike Zimmer last season. They spent the whole offseason talking about their defense. They gave up 27 points, 370 yards passing, and Joe Burrow was lighting them up. What is Kyler going to do to them? In the desert, one quick note, Gus Johnson, Aqib Talib on the call for this one for Fox. It might
cool.
be worth turning the volume up or down if you don't like that kind of thing. That's it.
Wow.
That's going to be interesting. I'm going with Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
First 10 years in the NFL. In Arizona, does a great job on and off the field. One of the great players, one of the great men that we have playing the game, going against his former team for the first time.
Cardinals held last year's leading rusher in Derrick Henry to just 58 yards last week. Now they have the NFL second best rusher in Dalvin Cook. Let's see if they can do it again. The Cowboys travel out west to battle it out against the Chargers. What intrigues you guys in that game? Peter, go.
I loved what Dallas did on offense last week. They said, this is what you're going to give us, and we're going to take it. And they decided to throw the ball all over the yard and completely dismiss the running game. Kyle mentioned this earlier. I don't think that's the game plan this week. I think that there's a much softer defensive line situation from the Chargers. I think the Cowboys can run the ball. They have to at least try to. This cannot be a team that passes the ball 80% and runs the ball 20% all season long. This has to be a running game if the Cowboys are going to win this one, because you know the Chargers, they're going to want to air it out as well.
You're talking about pressure. They lose this game, that being the boys.
Right.
They start 0-2, first time since 2010. How would they be able to get back into race? Now, we know the East is going to be tight.
Mm-hmm.
But when Dallas, you put the team together, Dak's going to be healthy. There's no way that you draw it up and think, man, they're going to get the season started 0-2.
I've talked about Zeke a lot, what he needs to do. Just one thing to look for in this game. Watch when Tony Pollard gets his hands on the ball. This is the backup to Zeke, the change of pace guy. He looks like he's got more burst. He looks like he's got more explosion. I know there's a contract thing and a fame thing and all that. I'm not totally convinced Zeke is the best running back on that team right now. I like Tony Pollard a lot. Watch him.
You in breaks keep looking at Pollard. You've been saying this for a long time about
Mr. I know, Ball. And I keep waiting. And every time Pollard gets the ball, I'm like, he's good. Give him the ball. I don't know.
The Chargers have been waiting a long time to beat the Cowboys the last time. The Cowboys beat the Chargers the last time was 2005, guys. What? Any guesses on the quarterbacks in that matchup? Peter?
Rivers versus Romo?
Drew Brees for the Chargers versus Drew Bledsoe for Drew the Cowboys. Fun trivia for you guys on a Friday. The Titans look to course correct. They're heading out to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. What's got us going about this one?
If you like fantasy, you like big receivers, this is the game to go to. Because, man, these guys are ginormous. Let's go DK Metcalf, Ole Miss guy, versus another Ole Miss guy, A.J. Brown, and look for Julio Jones after getting scalded in the press conference. Mm-hmm. Look, watch for Julio, the silent assassin, to make a comeback.
Tennessee got to do something. That was a crazy. They got to do something, anything. I would take that kind of energy, Chris. They didn't even have it. But I say it all the time. It's fine. It's okay. You can lose week one. You can get embarrassed week one. You cannot show up even like a hint of what you had last week. Or Peter, we're not talking about them. They can't do 0-2 like that.
I think that the Titans got a wake-up call, and if they don't show up in this one,
it's news.
It's time to be concerned. I'm not going to be panicked yet about the Titans.
Me neither.
To roll out week one after a whole offseason of hype, of all this buildup, and then at home lay a complete egg against the Cardinals, now they have to go into Seattle. If they come out flat in this one, it's panic time. I don't know what to tell you. It's as if this team was reading the headlines all summer. Mm.
The Titans remind me of a guy that wants to portray himself as being real tough, a studio gangster. You know, they got bullied. Mm. And they're used to bullying people the last several years.
That's okay. I'm not looking for trouble. It's okay. It's going to be by your drink. No. You got trouble.
Yeah, I got shot 8 times in my face.
Pow!
But I really went to a private
school. That's a good analogy. To your point on Julio, I will say fantasy perspective, and I know Tennessee was not out the gates hot, but he averages more yards per game in this matchup against Seattle in his career than any receiver. 129.2 yards per game against Seattle in his career. Obviously a different team, different offense, but I would feel good about Julio Jones, that big body wide receiver. What did you call him, a silent killer?
Oh, yeah, silent. Him. You know, all the receivers don't talk a bunch, like myself and a few other ones. Some of them, we just need a few quiet ones. He's one of them.
We'll see what he can do this weekend. Finally, this week's Sunday Night Football matchup brings us the fourth edition of Lamar v. Mahomes. Chiefs heading to Baltimore to face off against the Ravens. Let us start with Kyle.
It is a more interesting National Football League if one of these young AFC quarterbacks can smite Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
He's never lost to Lamar. He's never lost to Josh Allen. He's never lost to Baker Mayfield. He's perfect. If Lamar wins this game, it's like, okay, maybe the Chiefs are fallible. And I'm not rooting for that. I'm rooting for some sort of playing field in which they don't just wield their torch and light everybody on fire. Lamar, go have a game. Knock this thing off your shoulder. Let's beat this guy.
Sometimes teams are just stung by the injury bug. And it can I thought they really missed Marcus Peters last week. I think that hearing that Marquise Hollywood Brown might not play Sunday is a huge loss. If I'm a Ravens fan, I'm wearing bubble wrap to that game, and I'm just hoping that I don't get injured. It's one of those deals where some teams are just stung. I just don't know what happened with the Ravens this year, and I hope they can be competitive in this one. Sunday night game, Chris and Al, we'll see. But did not look good at the end of that game.
I remember making a lot of trips to Green Bay when Brett Favre was dominant.
Yep.
And I remember we make adjustments on the sideline, and I'd be like, hey, I got to watch this guy. That's who Patrick Mahomes is for me. I don't care where it is. I don't care what I'm doing. I got to see the kid.
I know.
I mean, he is magic waiting to happen.
At GMFBA, we'll say the last time the Ravens beat the Chiefs, guys. Just fun fact, 2012, the score was 9-6 on Justin Tucker field goals. He had 3 field goals. Hopefully this one is a little bit higher scoring than that one. All right, we've got more Good Morning Football on the way. Who stands to stop Wit up? After the week one performance, we've got best fantasy values for week 2. Top 5 Friday coming up.
Week 2 is fun in fantasy because someone who killed it week 1 will have 0.
It's
always a lack.
It's Top 5 Friday. Going to give you my 5 best fantasy values for week 2. Let's get this going. And yeah, it is Joe Burrow up against the Bears. Impressive last week. He had 2 touchdowns. He had 261 yards in his return from that knee injury. Now he's got that Bears secondary that really looked lost against Stafford and the Rams last Sunday night. I would start him over Jameis, who's got the Panthers. I would start Burrow over Ryan Tannehill, who's got a tough one against the Seahawks at running back. I liked In Daily last week, Chase Edmonds. He's got the Vikings. Edmonds 106 on 16 touches against Tennessee, showing out on the ground and in the passing game. Minnesota struggled last week as they gave up over 100 on the ground to Joe Mixon. A lot of running backs with bad matchups this week. If you have Josh Jacobs, gets the Steelers. Woof. James Robinson up against the Broncos. I don't like that matchup either. I think Edmonds does have some nice PPR potential. So in Daily, especially, get him in your lineup. Mm. Another running back for you, because there's tough matchups. Broncos rookie, your guy.
Love this dude.
Javonte Williams.
Let's have a week.
Yeah, he's got the Jags. 14 carries last week in the split backfield with Melvin Gordon, who had that beautiful long show run, of course. But the Broncos can beat up on the Jags, and it'll give Mr. Williams plenty of chances to get you some points. At wide receiver, Mike Williams. I know Chris Carter's like, I like the matchup, Chris. I want a piece of the action in what should be a high-scoring game. That's what I'm looking for.
Yep.
Chargers, Cowboys. He had 12 targets last week. So volume, that's a thing. He had 83 yards and a touchdown. Some people have him as low as a wide receiver 3. He's developing a rapport, though, with Herbert. And I do think he has a big day against this Cowboys secondary. Finally, tight end Robert Tonyan. Stock down across the board on the entire Packers offense, but I think they have a big bounce back this week. It's the Lions. It's Monday night. And Tonyan did find the end zone in both matchups against Detroit last year. I think he keeps that going and ends up inside the top 10 at the position when all is said and done on Monday. All right, let's take a look at the full list. And Chris Carter, Mike Williams, a little iffy on him. But what about against the iffy Cowboys?
Well, the problem is with Mike Williams, he doesn't get a lot of separation. So there's always going to be a DB in the picture. When you watch his highlight tape, there's going to be a guy in the picture because he just doesn't get that much separation. I just like, at this point in his career, for one, stay healthy. But I need some separation. Make it easier for the quarterback.
Mike Williams, I'm excited about these matchups this week.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with the quarterback spot. After what we saw last week from the Bears defense, it sounds so uncharacteristic. But with that defensive backfield, I almost feel like it's a must start against whoever they were playing. Joe Burrow looked great against a better Vikings defensive backfield. The Bears defense looked lost with Stafford out there. I think it might be must start for the first couple of weeks against the Bears defense, which sounds crazy. Burrow might just slice them up, though.
Even on the road.
Welcome back to Good Morning Football Friday morning, which means we get to say hello to our work brother and the host of Nickelodeon's brand new NFL Slime Time back here on Good Morning Football. Joining us from the set of his new gig, CBS Mornings. I think I got that right, Nate. Correct me if I'm wrong. Nate Burleson
hello,
joining
Nate.
Us.
Nate.
What's up, everybody? How you doing? What's up, GMFB fam and GMFB viewers? How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Good. So good.
It's Friday.
Good to see you. You look like a million bucks, kid. Let's talk about last week. We talked to you after Tom Brady outdueled Dak Prescott. It was the season opener. Who would have thought last night's battle between Taylor Heineke and Daniel Jones would almost be as exciting? What an incredible game. Crazy finish. What did you make of Heineke's performance last night? Do you think he could be the long-term dude?
Oh, yeah. Listen, he came in the game right out the gate, and he took a very bad sack. And I was thinking, oh, boy, this is going to get ugly. But before it got ugly, it got better. He was dropping dimes. What I love about him is he can step up in that pocket with no fear. And just having the composure, knowing that it's a close game back and forth, and then putting your team in position to win the game at the end. And some of these balls, the placement was fantastic. And then I saw him on the sideline waiting for that field goal to go in. I think that Heineke could be the answer. And we saw what Chase Young said about him last year. He's like, Heineke's the guy. And last night, it looked like he was.
Nate, you used to always say before Friday shows, let's take this off the rails today. Let's take this off the rails.
We have somebody across from us on the table right now. After the Chris Carter era was over with the Minnesota Vikings, basically the Vikings looked to this skinny, long-legged guy from the University of Nevada, Reno, to come and take over his job and try to fill in that gap.
Yeah.
Chris Carter is now here, filling your seat. It's sort of poetic and strange. What do you remember about walking into Mini post-Carter, and what do you think of this guy's game? He's a legend.
Listen, I would be looked at as a clown coming in as a rookie if I thought that I was going to fill the shoes of Chris Carter because they were as big as clown shoes. I didn't want to come in and be Chris. It was impossible. He was one of the best to ever do it. An incredible route runner. Also the one-handed catches and the toe drag swag before it became quote-unquote toe drag swag. Chris been doing that. So what I wanted to do is just work as hard as I could when I got out there on the field. Chris is one of the best to ever play the game. So when I landed in Minnesota, it wasn't about being the next Chris. It was just about being the best Nate Burleson I could be. You like that, Chris?
Oh, that's nice. That's the real deal. Now, Nate, I know, man.
That's the real deal.
We've made our living either catching this football or talking about this football.
That's right.
But those who know you know that you are a serious broadcaster. Now, I got a real question for you. Lynn Swann and a number of others, we have a great legacy as far as wide receivers transition to broadcasters. But very few people have been cast the way you've been cast. The next Michael Strahan, and we love Stray, give me the responsibility as far as a young announcer and the next generation that's really looking up to you, Nate, as you transition from sports to news and back to sports.
I appreciate those kind words. And I've been seeing some tweets and people saying that Chris Carter is filling in for you on the show. No, he's not. I've been pulling a Chris Carter since I left the game. You were in TV while I was still playing. So let me say this. I've always followed in your footsteps on and off the field. And you should mention yourself along with Ahmad Rashad as well. Minnesota Vikings who have successfully transitioned out of sports into a different space. Gayle King says this a lot. We have a front row seat to history. And what we do is we package that up and we give that to the viewer on a daily basis. There is a responsibility to inform the right way, uplift, and then also entertain, which, you know, I'm sure I can do occasionally. But I embrace the obligation. We embrace the obligation here at this table because there's people that need exactly what we're giving them on a daily basis so they can feel equipped when they go take on the world. But then also we want to make them smile. So as chaotic as the world may be at times, we'll tell them about it. But we also want to make them feel like the world isn't as bad as it seems, because it isn't.
Well said, bro. Well said. And we'll be cheering for you the whole way in your journey. And you will be fantastic.
That's beautiful.
I appreciate Nate, that. And let me say this, Chris. You know, I hear the Michael Strahan comparisons, and I'm thankful for that. I appreciate it. I get it. Young African-American male that's transitioned out of football into the news space. Strahan has done it. He has rewritten the blueprint of guys that have come before him. But just like in sports, I also want to prove why I'm different. You know, when people said, man, you have good routes and you do certain things like these guys, I want to go out on the field every single day to show you why Nate Burleson was just a little bit different. So as much as I am thankful for the comparisons to Strahan, I wake up every day hoping that the viewers see something different in me because I do bring something different to the table.
It's all great, and you're so spot on, and you are going to make your own path. You're not the next Strahan, you're the first Nate Burleson, and that's great. But one of the other reasons we love you on this show is that you have fun, mm-hmm. and you can talk about anything. And I'm going to bring it to a much more serious topic, Nate.
Come on. You're going to get serious on this
piece? Yes. I mean, you know, Chris Carter speaking, he's waxing poetic about your career. I love it. But who else can talk about the fact that Conor McGregor threw a drink at Machine Gun Kelly and got Megan Fox all wet? What was your take on that at the VMAs on Sunday night?
First of all, Conor McGregor was in his feelings. I feel like he wanted to go take a picture with MGK. MGK was like, nah, fam, I might go to your fights, but I'm not feeling you as a person. And then he wanted to go, who throws a drink? Who throws a drink? It's like Austin Powers. Who throws a shoe? Like, Conor McGregor, you're fighting. You're throwing water on the red carpet? That's unreal to me. So shout out to MGK for keeping his cool with his girl right there and Conor McGregor for not keeping his cool. Come on, that was lame to me.
Good take.
He does it all. Nate Burleson joining us on his weekly just hangout with us, or reunion. As if you needed another job, Nate, you have a new show. It's called NFL Slime Time. It debuted Wednesday night on Nickelodeon. Congratulations. It was a huge hit.
We're trying to bridge the gap between the young fan and the traditional fan so a mom and dad can watch the game with an 11-year-old who might be into football but not as much. We're going to have weekly appearances by your favorite athletes and celebrities. This week it was John Cena, who was in a fantasy league with us. Next week it's going to be a surprise, so you have to tune in. So tune in every Wednesday to watch Slime Time.
We certainly will. Nate, love having you on the show. Thanks for stopping by. Takes on Machine Gun Kelly and Taylor Heineke all in one swoop. We love you, Nate.
Love you, fam. This is our last segment for week two of the NFL season, and we got your game picks. Right now, it is time for our signature segment, our GMFB certified 100% grade A grass-fed top choice pigskin picks of the week. We're each going to pick one game, make it our lock for week two. We've done this for a few years now. I had the producers do research on this. We've never gotten one wrong in the history of the segment. So, Chris, drop the ball. Peter, keep the undefeated streak going. Who wins this weekend?
I'm looking at an upset. I'm looking at a team that has lost five straight to a division rival and a team that is going to hold its own in its home opener. Brian Flores, what are you about? I'm going with the Dolphins as
my straight. Bills 0-2.
Beat them Bills. Miami, I see you. Two up. The lefty.
Uh-huh.
Taylor, lefty.
Lefty.
Two
Tua beats Allen. Dolphins win.
Mr. Let's Worldwide, Peace Rags.
That's it.
Chris, what do you got?
Oh, I like it. I'm looking at the Bucks hosting the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
All right. I've talked about AB. I think that Antonio is the best receiver on Tampa Bay. Had a healthy offseason. And for those who hit me up, even one of the members at the desk here asked me, how is he doing mentally? I still believe he's one of the elite receivers that we have. That's why I'm going with the Buccaneers as my.
Yeah, flame up, Chris.
Flame up.
Flame it up. Now you just can do whatever you want, Chris.
CLFB certified, 100% grade A, grass fed, top choice, pigskin, pick of the week.
My man.
Well done.
Let's do this.
You've had fun here, haven't you, Chris?
It's pretty good
just
gig.
Just a little bit. Pretty good deal. I've got my eye on the Chargers hosting the Cowboys. Talked about this one a lot. Cynthia Freeland backed me up saying there's going to be some big plays made. It should be high scoring. No DeMarcus Lawrence. I think Derwin James makes a big play in this one. Justin Herbert absolutely lights it up. To Mike Williams, to Keenan, to whoever's out there catching passes, I'm going to go with the Chargers over the Cowboys for my.
Light her up. Flame up.
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay.
Get it.
My neck just completely.
Careful. Kay goes with the Chargers. And she is gassed out. I don't blame her. It's the end of the week. We're all feeling that way. But I'm going to try something for this segment every week. I'm going to always use the MVP to pick my top choice pick of the week. This week, we saw Nate Burleson. He had Kyler Murray as the Nickelodeon valuable player, which is why I'm going with the Arizona Cardinals over the Vikings as my. Give me the ball, Chris. Give me the ball. We have a Viking on here, so I'm picking against the Viking. You grab it, and then you put it away, Chris. You grab it, and then you put it away. Exactly right. That's it. That's my pick. I'm taking it. The Cardinals.
Peter, give me one of these. No, the other one with the ball.
Peter Schrager, follow me at PSchrags on Twitter.
Yeah.
Let me check my phone. Ends in
I have some news. Chris Carter, are you with us on Monday?
Let's do this.
Huh? I had no idea.
Welcome back.
What? Chris Carter's back on Monday for highlights. Enjoy the weekend.
Welcome back.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.